People of God, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And thank you to everyone who read. I appreciate it. It's fun to do something different once in a while. This sermon will have three parts. Part one, what's wrong? Part two, what's right? Part three, what's next? But first, a brief introduction. Church, have you ever heard a story so many times that you think you've squeezed the life out of it, and then suddenly God shows you something brand new? That's the Lazarus story. Years ago, Rose and I were part of a church in Zeeland, Michigan. They put together a little Lenten devotional on the I Am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. Our pastor at the time, Jay, wrote several entries, but so did our friends from the congregation, Tim, Bill, Linda, Lyle, Missy. Even Rose and I wrote a few of them. I still have that little book here today, and I'd like to read you an entry that makes a connection by leading us right into the story of Lazarus. And it's called, I Am the Resurrection and the Life. The key verse is, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. I love this story about Lazarus. For one, it gives a fuller understanding of two Bible characters that have been two-dimensional in the memory of our community. Doubting Thomas proves to have courage under fire. And Martha, the anxious hostess, proves to be a woman of faith. Even more, this story gives us a foretaste of what happens on Easter morning. Leading onward to Easter, the church counts up 40 days of Lent, but she does not include the Sundays in her count. Why? Each Sunday is like a little mini Easter in which we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection. In the same way, the Lazarus story is Easter in miniature, because at the end of the day, a dead man walks. Imagine the emotions of Martha and Mary. Both women knew deeply inside their hearts that Jesus truly loved Lazarus. But why? Why did he delay in his coming? And notice that Martha and Mary handle their grief differently. Martha goes out to meet Jesus and confronts him immediately. Meanwhile, Mary is unable to face Jesus, staying behind in their house. Martha knows Jesus as a healer who has power over blindness, paralysis, and disease. Yet why did he delay in his coming? Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. A short time later, Mary, her sister, echoes the same words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The two sisters wish Jesus had come earlier to heal their brother, his friend. But Jesus delayed for this primary purpose, so God's glory would be revealed. When he declared, I am the resurrection and the life, his words had weight. Resurrection reality would dawn that very day. With deep felt emotion expressed in his tears, Jesus approached the tomb of his friend. And after he prayed to his Father in heaven, Jesus gave a command that Anthony shouted really loud earlier, Lazarus, come out. His word had authority. His word held power. And in a brief moment, a stirring arose out of the stillness of the grave. A dead man walked out of the tomb. Lazarus was alive. So what did you think? How did you like it? But something in this story feels unsettling. What's wrong in John chapter 11? Two things, delay and death. Three times in the opening verses, we're told that Lazarus wasn't just sick, he was very sick. he would have been in the ICU today. So his sister sent an urgent message to Jesus. Lord, the one you love is very sick. Jesus responded confidently, this sickness will not end in death. Yet, he did not rush to Bethany. Instead, the text says, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for 2 days. 2 whole days. 48 hours of waiting. 48 hours of praying. 48 hours of wondering, where is he? And when will he show up? Only then did Jesus say, let's go back to Judea. Jesus knew exactly what he would find there. Bethany, the house of affliction, was living up to its name. Lazarus' sickbed had become a deathbed. Before they even arrived, Jesus told his disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, so that you may believe. When Jesus approached the village, Martha ran out to meet him right away, while Mary stayed behind. The sisters both loved their brother deeply, but they grieved in different ways. Anyone who has walked through loss knows this well. Grief doesn't just have a single script. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross famously described 5 stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. But most people move through them in their own way and at their own pace. Some of you know that personally. Mary was sunk in depression, unable to rise from her seat of sorrow. Martha, on the other hand, is caught between anger and bargaining. One commentator notes, Mary's tears have replaced Martha's words. Martha didn't waste any time on saying hello or giving pleasantries, but confronted Jesus right away. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know in my heart that God will give you whatever you ask. Why? Why didn't he come sooner? Why the delay? After speaking with Jesus, Martha returned to Mary and whispered in her ear, the teacher is here and is asking for you. Mary rose up and went to him. When she reached Jesus, she fell at his feet and echoed the same words her sister had said earlier. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, if only you had been here. If only you had acted sooner. If only you had answered my prayer in the way that I had hoped. Both sisters asked the same aching question, why did you take so long? But they weren't the only ones grieving. Lazarus was Jesus' dear friend. When Jesus saw Mary and the other mourners weeping, he was deeply moved. At the tomb, he himself wept. 2 simple words that reveal the depth of his humanity. Jesus wept. Other versions might say, Jesus cried, but the International Standard Version spoke to me. Jesus burst into tears. But they all have the same sense. Jesus was present with them and suffered alongside them. He was not just a powerful Lord, but a compassionate friend. John Rolofsson writes that Jesus' tears testify to the very incarnation itself. He is truly one of us. He is truly one with us, sharing our need for friendship, sharing our grief at loss. The crowd saw his tears and said, see how much he loved him. Others wondered, couldn't the one who opened the eyes of the blind have kept Lazarus from dying? The tension is real. Jesus did love Lazarus. Jesus definitely has the power to heal, and yet he delayed. And Lazarus, he died. Of course, Jesus could have kept Lazarus alive if it was God's will and God's way. He had already performed many mighty works. Yet in the Gospel of John, these works are never called miracles. They're always signs, signs that point beyond themselves to something greater. By this point, Jesus had performed 6 signs. He turned water into wine. He healed the official's son. He healed the paralyzed man. He fed the 5,000. He walked on water. He restored the eyes of the blind man. Now comes the 7th sign, the number of biblical completion and perfection. But Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. In Jewish thought, that mattered. One author writes that after the 3rd day, the spirit was locked out and forced to enter Sheol, the realm of the dead. The 4th day meant it is finished. Another commentator explains, the soul was believed to hover near the body for 3 days. But by the 4th day, all hope was gone. Yet with Jesus, and you know this, with Jesus, there's always hope. So Jesus approached the tomb, a cave sealed with a stone, and commanded, "Remove the stone." Martha protested, "Lord, there will be a bad odor." In the Greek, it says, "It will stink. It will smell. It will be a severe stench." He's been in there for 4 days. And this pictures it right here. And this is, maybe you know the painter Vincent van Gogh. This is Van Gogh. And Van Gogh, what he did here is he painted himself into this scene. He's not on the right, he's not in the middle, he's on the left. Van Gogh is Lazarus in this scene because we know that Van Gogh had a red beard. So he says, "I am the dead man, and I am the one who waits for Jesus to call me out of the grave." Isn't that powerful? Think on that, and think on that beautiful sunlight where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the one who shines on this dead man and makes him alive," whether it's Vincent or whether it's one of us. And when I talk about dead man, I'm not talking about literal physical death. I'm talking about the spiritual realities here, where God gives us new life, where we're stuck down in the depths and God says, "I'm making you alive. I'm renewing you. I'm giving you revival." Amen? Amen. So the stone was rolled away, and Jesus prayed aloud for the sake of the crowd. Then he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man walked out, all wrapped up in bandages, looking like a mummy, looking like a zombie, but he was alive. And it wasn't just a sleight of the eyes either. It wasn't a magic trick. He was actually the person, Lazarus, body and soul, that had died 4 days earlier. This was the climax, the climactic sign, until a few weeks later when Jesus himself would rise from the grave. But Jesus didn't only act, he spoke life-giving words. Earlier in his conversation with Martha, he had said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha affirmed her belief in the future resurrection. But Jesus brought her future forward into the present. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." This is one of the 7 I am statements in John. So you got 2 sevens here, right? The 7th and final sign, where Lazarus is raised from the dead, and one of the 7 I am statements. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. Here, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said it. I believe it. It's true. These are words of comfort that are often spoken at funerals, including those here at Lakeview Church. Death may feel final, but in Christ it becomes a doorway to eternal life. In fact, funerals in the Reformed Church are not only called a celebration of life, but a service of witness to the resurrection. Audrey West reminds us not to miss the bigger picture. She does not want us to miss the forest for the trees. She writes, "At Lazarus' tomb, death is denied for a time. You could think of it as delayed. At Jesus' tomb, death is overcome for good. Lazarus was resuscitated. He would eventually die again. Meanwhile, Jesus was resurrected. He lives forever. Easter forms the ultimate victory. Here, Lazarus points forward to Easter, but Jesus, he is Easter. So what now? If Jesus brings life out of death, how should we respond? First, consider how the people of Jesus' day responded. Their jaws must have dropped right to the ground when they saw this person looking like a mummy crawling, walking out of the tomb. You know, in their day and in our day, most people that get buried in the cemetery, they stay there. Not Lazarus, because Jesus, as Rose told the children, has the power that gives life. And death cannot overcome it. Death may feel final, but with Jesus, there's always hope. The people who witnessed this sign believed in Jesus. That was his purpose all along. Earlier he had said, "This sickness is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." His delay was done purposely. His delay was done with great intention. His delay was done so that faith might flourish. Some of you might say, "Believe? I've believed since I was a child." But belief is much more than mere mental agreement. It's a way of life. Before moving to New York, Rose and I served as prison pastors over in Iowa. Our prison congregation was called New Life Community. And we reminded the guys often, you're not just saved from something, you are saved to something. Saved from sin, it's true, but also saved to new life. Saved to a new way of living. Another church in West Michigan is called Resurrection Life. I like that name. That's exactly what you are called to live. You're called to live the resurrection life. Jesus did not say, "I was." He also did not say, "I will be the resurrection." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." His resurrection life is available right here, right now. And spring provides a beautiful picture of this. The robin returns. The crocus pushes through the frozen ground. The daffodil begins to bud. These are signs of new life, signs of the resurrection. And as creation awakens, you awaken too. The spirit of the risen Christ lives within you, inviting you to bloom like a flower and live for God. The Spirit calls us to lift up our hearts and sing like a robin. Sing for Christ, the risen Lord. Just as Jesus called Lazarus by name, "Lazarus, come out," he calls each one of you by name too. He knows your name. He calls you by name. And he says, "Come out of the grave, rise up, and live. So rise, come to life, and become fully alive. A contemporary Christian song captures the invitation. Come on and rise up. Take a breath. You're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? You're brand new. The power of death could not hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Out from the grave like Lazarus. Thanks be to God. Through Christ we have come to life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen.